Blog Talk Radio.
Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, February the 6th. We have sort of a chilly day here in Dallas. It looks like it's going to rain, but it's a type of temperature where you have to wear a sweater when you go out. I guess very typical of February around here, so don't worry too much. It's not climate change or anything like that. It's just February in Dallas where we tend to get a little bit of everything. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, we had these big snowstorms in Dallas for several days. The entire city was closed. I remember that. So it can be freaky here in Dallas in February. And today it's sort of, it has the looks of a chilly afternoon. I'm going to be going out here in a few minutes, so I have to make sure that I wear a sweater because it was a little chilly outside. Today we're going to talk about some of the stories. I have a post over at the American Thinker about what's going on in Venezuela. I'm going to be putting out one on Wednesday morning about President Trump and what he said about Democrats. But let's get going. Let's get going with the two big stories of the day, of course, the stock market and the memo, my memo versus your memo. Why don't we begin with that? This is really getting silly. The Democrats are now saying they're going to put out their memo. I'm not opposed to the memos going out. I think that everything should be put out. Now, the Democrats, of course, are saying that the original Nunes memo, let's just call it that, apparently was misleading. So they have their own memo. Look, as far as I'm concerned, let's put it all out. Let's put all the memos out there on the table. Let's put it all out. At this point, I think that there's so much he said, she said. Let's just put it all out. Another thing that we ought to do as well is put a copy, or at least as much as can be released in public, of the application to the FISA court. What exactly were they requesting, and what specifically were they basing the request on? Now, the allegation, of course, is that they were using a campaign document to get a warrant, which I find that to be horrific. I mean, look, that is simply so out of bounds that it shouldn't be tolerated. Now, the Democrats are saying, well, the judge knew that it was a campaign document. That doesn't really explain it, because there is a campaign document and there's a campaign document. So what exactly did they tell the judge the document was? I think we need to see everything at this point. I'm just sick and tired of my memo versus your memo. Let's just put it all out on the table. Look, the American people we're big enough to understand what's going on. We can handle the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. Let's just put it on the table. And let's settle it right there, because there's too much of my memo versus your memo, and that just makes everybody look silly. That just makes everybody look silly. You know, some people go to this channel and they say this, and the others run to this channel and say that. No, no, no. Let's just put it out on the table, and let's settle this thing for once and for all. Let's put it all out there for everyone to see. Now, my hunch is that the original GOP memo is correct, that there were potential abuses here of executive powers with the court, with the FISA court. That's what my gut feeling tells me. It's true. But again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So let's just put everything on the table, and let's take all the mystery out of this, and let's just put everything on the table and let the world see what exactly is going on. No more of this my memo versus your memo. I don't want to see that anymore. Let's just put everything out on the table. Well, the stock market is the big news in the United States. We've had, let's say, 24 hours of what one would call volatility. Now, today, as I speak to you right now, which is 2 o'clock Central Time, it looks like at the very least the market is about even, meaning that it's not going to lose, it's not going to gain. I think it's a few points over the line. My gut feeling, and it's not based on any financial expertise here, my gut feeling is that this is a correction. Just like we had a correction in October of 1987, I remember that, when the economy was doing great. I mean, all of the economic indicators were looking great in October 1987, and then you had a correction that dropped the market considerably. But again, it all came back eventually, and by the spring, nobody was even remembering the correction. I remember back in April 2000, there was another huge correction in the market. That time, I think it went down from 14,000 to 7,000. And again, that was eventually digested in the economy. The economy came back and the market came back, and here we are, we're 26,000. So my sense is that this is a correction. I don't have any other reason to feel differently. I guess if it goes on for a couple of weeks, I may say something differently, but all I see here is a correction. That's all that I see, a correction, and things are going to be fine once we get over this thing. For me, the most amusing part of it all, of course, is last week when we were saying that the economic recovery was because of President Trump, the Democrats were saying, no, that's not right. It's not because of him. Now the market goes down and they say it's all because of Trump. Well, it can't be both ways. You know, you can't say one week that it's not him and then the next week blame it all on him. Look, I think the economy is a complex animal. It's something that has its own style, its own life to some degree. And I think sometimes we blame politicians too much and we give them credit too much. And that may be what we're seeing here. So let's just everybody relax. I think we'll be okay. The country will be fine. And I'm sure that the people investing for the long term, which I assume is what most of the people in the market do, they're going to be just fine because a lot of this money they're going to win back at some point over the next few months. I have a post over at the American Thinker. I'm going to recommend that you check it out. It's about the Chavez family down in Venezuela and the levels of corruption in the Chavez family. You know, he left us two things. He left us obviously President Maduro, who is now running the country, or I should say messing up the country. And then he also left a very big amount of wealth that his family is spending. And this article talks about some of the mansions and some of the money that the family has. It's really obscene. I mean, I just don't know how else to say it. It's just terribly obscene. And this is what happens, of course, in many of these countries. It's the same thing in Cuba. Look at the money that the Castro family has. So these people are socialists. They pretend to be socialists. But at the end of the day, they're not socialists at all. They turn out to be people who are pretty hypocritical, to say the least. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes. Carlos is going to tell you a little bit about where he's been doing this week and where he's going to be running around and playing. So you may want to keep an eye on him, especially over at his Facebook page.
And I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie, authentic Cajun and Creole restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
My good friend Carlos, and as I've always mentioned, he's just an absolutely great musician. You're going to enjoy your meal a great deal with him in the background playing music. And you can go to his Facebook page, and that's where he has all of his dates and all of the places that he's been playing around town. Well, we have a really interesting coincidence on February the 6th. February the 6th, we celebrate a birthday for two of the most important people of the 20th century, Babe Ruth and Ronald Reagan. Babe Ruth, of course, the great baseball player, and Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States. You know, Babe Ruth, it's a fascinating story. He was born in Baltimore, Maryland, on this day in 1895. His real name is George Herman Ruth. And when he was a young boy, he was always getting in trouble. He was a rough kid, had a rough childhood. And his parents just basically couldn't control him. They couldn't keep him away from from getting in trouble in the streets. And one day his parents said, we just cannot handle this kid anymore. So they put him in a Catholic school there in Baltimore. And they figured, well, hopefully they can discipline our young man because we just can't keep up with him. And they put him in that school. And there he met over some time. He met a man named Brother Matthias, who became a real influence in his life and directed Babe into playing baseball. He detected that Babe had a talent for throwing the baseball. He was a pitcher at the time, and eventually, directed him in that direction, got him to play baseball as a young man. And, you know, by the time he was 18 or 19, he signed with the Boston Red Sox and went on to be a major league pitcher, actually a pretty good one. He was a major league pitcher, even has a World Series record that held for many, many years until it was broken in the 1960s. And then in 1920, the Babe was traded from the Red Sox to the Yankees, or he was actually sold to the Yankees, I should say. And that was known as the Curse of the Bambino. That's what that particular day is known in Boston. And then in the 1920s, he became the face of baseball. He became the biggest sports celebrity in the country. He literally saved the game of baseball. I mean, there's no other way to talk about it. When the Babe came into the game in 1919, the business of baseball was in serious trouble because they had gone through that terrible White Sox scandal of the 1917 World Series, where there were allegations that players were taking money and throwing games and so on. And many players were banned from baseball by the commissioner because of that. So the game was in really serious trouble. And the Babe came in, and people started going to the games again because they wanted to see Babe Ruth. They wanted to see this guy who hit all those amazing home runs. And that's what kind of saved the game. Babe Ruth literally saved the game of baseball. Of course, he went on to have one of the great careers in baseball. You know, he established the season record, 60 home runs in one season. He also set the career record of 714 home runs. All of those records, of course, were broken later by Roger Maris and by Henry Aaron. But nevertheless, those records were there for a very long time. And he became really probably the biggest athlete of the 20th century, not necessarily for his abilities, but just for the impact that he had in the game. He died in 1948. Now, Ronald Wilson Reagan was born in Tampico, Illinois in 1911. As you may know, he was a radio announcer. He went to Eureka College, then he was a radio announcer. Then he went on to Hollywood to make some movies. Never made big, big movies, but he was in a lot of them. He was usually the number two guy in the movie, as they say. He was not the big star, but he was part of the cast. He made some movies, and later on he became the president of the Actors Labor Union, then eventually got into politics, eventually ran for governor of California, was elected twice, and then eventually elected president of the United States twice, one of the most popular presidents in recent time, probably one of the most consequential presidencies of recent times. I mean, there's no question about it, that everything that came after Reagan was either Reagan or anti-Reagan. He was like a barometer. He was like a marker in the historical timeline, in the presidential timeline. And today, when you do the rankings, when people look at the great presidents, he's up there. He's up there with some of the great ones. And certainly of my generation, I mean, look, I got into I was interested in politics before Reagan, but Reagan was the one who sort of more or less got me into conservative politics. He kind of put it all together for me when I started to follow Reagan in the 1970s. And I think for a lot of us, he continues to be the great inspiration. And you think of the Republican Party today, it's really the party of Lincoln and the party of Reagan. Those are the two figures who are most prominent in the Republican Party. The party of Lincoln, that's where the party comes from, and the party of Reagan, which is where the party is today. But we remember today Ronald Reagan, one of the most consequential presidents in American history, one of the great guys. I mean, I had the opportunity one time to meet him for just a few seconds, a really charming, nice person. Well, that's it. Babe Ruth and Ronald Reagan. What a coincidence that is, to have two of the greatest personalities of the 20th century to be born on the same, not the same day, of course, but the same day of the year, different calendar, but the same day, Babe Ruth in 1895 and Ronald Reagan in 1911. By the way, Mr. Reagan died in 2004. You may remember that. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.